We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And welcome to Light Years. Andy Liu, we're recording this after the Warriors-Dallas Mavericks game, and feels like the most complete win. Maybe not of the season, but it's been a minute since they've had a complete win like this.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's been at least a month plus. I kind of don't count that Chicago win because it was kind of sandwiched between just a bunch of terrible performances. It seems like a blip. So, like, maybe since the Jazz, maybe Christmas, you could say, right?
Like, it's good point. Like, LaVine goes down. That was just kind of a weird game in general.
I don't really count it.
Yeah, no. I mean, this was, all things considered, you know, Draymond's still out. We're going to get an update over the weekend where that's at. Nothing sounds like it's moving faster than that.
But in general, I thought tonight, just great win. Probably the best that Clay's played with the team. Like, the concept of Clay playing well while everyone else plays well together. Just an all-around strong team win.
Yeah. Everything. It was a little bit like touch and go to start. Like, they didn't score for the first 3-plus minutes or so. So, it was a little frustrating. It looked like they'd been the last few weeks. But once they started going, it was classic. Get Clay the rock. By the way, the first couple threes that Clay made looked really weird. It looked like he was aiming them in. I mean, he's that good at winning anyway. After that, he was free-flowing. But the defense was fantastic from the beginning. Kevon Looney, I actually didn't mean to start with Kevon Looney, Sam, but he is incredible defensively right now and all season.
The most hipster take possible. The Warriors score 130 points, second highest point total of the season, and you want to highlight the guy, the only guy – in the rotation who didn't score.
He didn't score tonight. I love it. Just anyway.
Andy Kerr right now giving game balls for rebounds.
You think he gave the game ball to Looney? Like, of course he did. Yeah, but we can go through a lot of it. You kick off where we should start, but it's just this defense tonight was fantastic. And then they finally got the offense back to normal.
Yeah, I mean, so if you've been watching the Warriors all season, you know this is a defensive first team. The Splash Brothers, the offense, the system, whatever it may be, gets all the highlights. But this team is really predicated on defense and getting out in transition. And particularly since Draymond's gone down, that hasn't been a thing, at least with the consistency we're used to. And we know they're never going to defend at the same level without Draymond that they do with Draymond. But tonight, against, what would you consider Dallas? They're a good team, but they're definitely not a contender, right?
Yep.
Like they're second tier. They're a solid playoff team.
Yep.
This team played great defense, got out to transition, hit their shots, and basically played Warriors basketball. There's no other way around it.
Steph Curry looked like Draymond tonight because it felt like he went out of his way to find people open shots. He got to the hole to kick back out, and he missed out on a lot of assists just because he got the hockey assist. Sam, how many split cuts did you count tonight? Because I didn't count very many.
at least not in the moments. It felt like they ran an offense that said, hey, we're going to get Steph the Rock. We're going to have our best players create. Jordan Poole, your guy, fantastic tonight. Just incredible on and off the ball and shooting the ball. And when those two guys are able to create and get to the hole, like, it opens up everything for everyone else.
So I feel like that's a good point. The split cuts work when you have Draymond Green and Steph and Clay feeling yes. it moving off screens. Yes. The split cuts without Draymond Green, it's a pointless offense for this team. And
it looks like they're probably going to be without Draymond for longer than 2 weeks, probably till All-Star break at minimum. Just reading between the lines, the way they're speaking, like, I don't expect Draymond to be back anytime soon. And that means Steph has to take more of a playmaking role. And like tonight's a perfect example. Steph had 18 points, 7 for 16 from the field. By the way, shout out Steph, just still chucking those end of quarter, three quarter shots.
I could never.
But what matters with him is he was making the right play. He had 7 assists in three quarters. 18, 7, and 9. And if you watch the game, my main takeaway was Steph was kind of orchestrating the whole offense.
Yep.
And that's kind of what it's been since Draymond's been out there now, 4-1 on this homestand. And I expect it to be this way for the duration of Draymond being out. Like, Steph doesn't get to be off ball as much as he likes to. It's going to be a lot more 25 and 10, you know, 23 and 9. Instead of 35 and 4, 33 and 5, those type of games. Like, he has to take more of a playmaking role. This team has guys who can hit shots and score. They kind of don't have that many playmakers. Steph kind of has to take that role, at least until Draymond comes back.
Yep, and he should. And he should. And we've been calling for this for a long time, and that's the right move. And we don't need to see anybody else have the ball. And he's good enough. He's always been good enough. They just prefer, and I think he probably prefers to do it this way. And I think it's a matter of getting his muscle memory back to playing this way, because we've seen him do it. We've seen him do it early in his career when he averaged, you know, 7-8 assists a game. And now it's not even about the assists. It's just about, like, we're getting – like, Damian Lee tonight was fantastic, because all he had to do was shoot, stand in the corner and shoot open threes. Or he takes a couple dribble books, gets straight to the hole. All he had to do. Bielitsa, all he does is run a pick, pop, get it open three, and that's it. Like, if you get those guys to not mess around and start dribbling and passing, those guys are good basketball players. Same with Otto Porter. Looked like he got a shot back tonight, right? He's been struggling for a few games. So, like, all that stuff becomes so easy when you get guys like Steph to just handle the rock and make plays. And I remiss not to say Jordan Poole was also great getting to the hole today. He's not so much a passer, but like, they needed confident Jordan Poole back.
Yeah,
they needed him back. He's been gone. Whenever Clay's back, it's been a weird kind of a thing, but not tonight. It wasn't. He was great.
And I want to just throw it out there, like, to your point, like, I still think Steph is probably at his absolute best when you have a playmaker like Draymond around him, because then you can really take advantage of everything he does. But with no Draymond, he's going to have to sacrifice his off-ball game just a little more to get everyone else going. So you're not going to see leading the NBA in scoring Steph Curry. You're going to see more of a balanced playmaker Steph Curry. And it's one of those things where, like, okay, maybe the scoring stats aren't where you want them, but if they win, who gives a fuck, right? Like, it's like one of those things. They won by 30. What was the final margin?
Yeah, I think 35.
They won by 38. And
Jesus,
I don't think anyone cares that Steph didn't score 30. You know what I'm saying? Like, if this is the way they need to play to win games while Draymond's out, so be it. And I kind of suspect this is how it's going to be the rest of the game. Maybe next game he scores 27. Maybe next game he scores 15. But in general, he's going to have to be more of an on-ball playmaker, and that's the way they're going to have to play. And, you know, it worked tonight.
Yeah. Dallas, for some reason, also played some weird defensive scheme where they didn't just jump at Curry every time a pick came, which was very odd. I swear Dallas has been playing better defensively. I guess not this game. They kind of lost their mind.
Well, I was looking just sort of
weird, right?
Looking at the numbers pregame, Mavericks had the number one ranked defense the last 15 games, which
kind of caught me off guard. I knew they were playing good defense. I did not realize they were top of the NBA defense. But based on tonight, I don't know that I buy that.
Oh, D'Lo with the game winning layup here. The other thing about where do you want to go from here? By the way, did you have someone specific? I was gonna go talk Jordan Poole.
Yeah, let's go Jordan Poole.
Benefiting from the lack of, I think, motion offense. And I don't know if this is like Steve Kerr. Kenny Atkinson looks like he's back on the bench. Somebody reported. So maybe that's part of it, some of the adjustments that they made. But can you just see how happy Jordan Poole is when he gets to dribble the rock? It's literally that simple. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, and I mean, he's a playmaker, and he wants to dance on the ball a little bit, and he's good enough to do it. I think the hard part for the Warriors – and particularly for Steve Kerr, is how to balance that between running their offense, right? Like, it's he could be on a worse team and he could be just dribbling it in circles. So how do you get him to function, to find his rhythm and be useful? Because, like, dude, some of the plays he made tonight were just utterly filthy. Like, he's super talented. His ability to take guys off the bounce, some of the pull-up moves, like, there's not a lot of guys who can do that at that level.
Nope.
You want to incorporate in the offense, but like you don't want to create an offense where it's like, you know, Steph Clay and everyone's standing around watching Jordan Poole cook. Like, you got to find a balance there.
So, yeah, there is, especially with Draymond back. You're right. There is a balance because Draymond's not going to like that either, or like that a lot of that either. But that's they need Jordan Poole to take them to the next level. Clay might be a creator now, Sam. You see the behind the back passes. He called himself Magic Thompson. So like maybe he's going to be a third creator here, but like the Warriors are going to need Jordan Poole to come off the bench and do these things consistently if they're going to want to win a championship. So I was just really happy seeing him do that because it seemed like he took it very tough when he got sent to the bench, which makes sense. He's a 22-year-old kid. So
The starting shooting guard on a first place team. Usually you don't get benched when you're in first place.
It wasn't because he was playing bad, right? Like it was just it's Klay Thompson. He's going to start. So I'm just happy for him. Man, I'm happy for him and I'm happy for you know everyone else on the team that played well tonight, including your guy. Another one of your guys, Kuminga.
Yeah. Before we get to Kuminga, I don't want to bury the lead. Klay Thompson, 6 assists tonight. I don't know that he's ever had 6 assists pre-injury. The funniest thing about Klay coming back has been the I don't know. We all remember Game 6 Klay and coming off of screens and just murdering you type of Klay. And you forget, like, you know, he's got more game than just being that kind of guy. And then there's a level of I haven't played basketball at this level in 2+ years, Klay, and just wanted to show all the things he can do. What were you thinking with all those behind-the-back passes and dives you used to like?
I feel like somebody got in his ear and said, Klay, stop shooting the ball whenever you get the ball. It's not helping us, honestly. I think so. I don't know who. Probably the only person that can tell him that is like maybe Steph, like maybe Andre. Like it's the person that told him, like, Klay, I love you, man. Like we know you've been out for 2.5 years, but – my guy, you are not helping the offense when you're chucking it 30 times a game the moment you catch the ball. And I think tonight he made a concerted effort to move the rock and just shoot when he's open. And it looked like the Klay of old, right? It just looked like how the Warriors offense runs. Yep.
I'm just talking about those behind the back passes though. Those were, I don't know, man. It's just funny to watch Klay, like, dude, Magic Thompson with the behind-the-back pass.
Nobody on this team does that. Well, Andre actually does that pretty well. But beyond that, who does that?
I mean, Steph used to do some of that stuff, but he's kind of – I think Steve has officially, like, coached it out of him. But, like, yeah, Klay is exploring his boundaries here. And I don't know what else to say, like – obviously, it's a good thing for this team. Like, he probably felt a little boxed in when they had KD for a while, where it was just like, all right, you don't need to dribble the ball. We got Steph Curry, we got Kevin Durant, we got Draymond Green. We don't need you doing that. You're just going to be a spot-up killer, right? And now he kind of gets to do a little more of his game, and he's missed so much time. It's fun to watch. I'm still kind of in a weird spot with Klay where it's like,
everything he does is kind of irreverent, and I'm like excited about it because I haven't watched him in so long, right?
Yeah, this felt like the first time that he's actually good. You know what I mean? Like the first few games he's come back, you're kind of sitting there, you're like, whatever he does, you're fine with because it's Clay and he's come back, and what, you're going to be mad at him for not playing a cert, you know, as good as he was. Tonight felt like, oh, like he looks good. He looks like that version of Clay Thompson that you're used to seeing. So we'll see. I mean, he didn't play last game because of knee soreness. I was definitely concerned. Definitely concerned, Sam. But he came out tonight and looked like that wasn't an issue. So Dr. Lou can rest. but hopefully he'll be able to play Thursday, man. I think he played more minutes than usual tonight. I think he played 26, 28 minutes. So that's more than his usual.
They haven't communicated what he's going to take his minutes up to, but like, yeah, 26. He's slowly getting to 30. I'm excited to see when Clay takes that first game where there's 0 minute restrictions and Steve can play him 35, 36 minutes. I think we're still – I don't think that's coming before the All-Star break. But, like, I'm excited to see what that looks like. I'm excited to see how that goes. Tonight was – I feel like the broadcast said it, but tonight was just like a feel-good win. You know what I mean? Like, they kind of started blowing them out at the end of the third quarter. And then we got the Kuminga show in the fourth quarter, and my God, he's an athlete, right? But it's like one of those things where it's like, I'm not going to read too much into the numbers and the fourth quarter and all that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah, this was you know, their best day, so they're not always going to play like this. But you mentioned Kuminga, and Kuminga actually started the game playing pretty poorly, I thought. He looked like he didn't really know what was going on out there. You know, classic stuff for a 19-year-old. But like Draymond said, man, he just does shit on the floor that you never see. And he does it consistently. Andrew Wiggins was very good tonight. He has the same level of athleticism, but like, he doesn't do it that same way, right?
He does not have the same level of aggression, that's for sure.
Just pure, I'm going to get to the hole and F you. Every single time. And also, dude, kid is hitting 38% from three right now. Did you know that? I don't think he missed one tonight, and his shot looks...
Nah, 8 for 9, 4 for 4 from three.
I mean, sheesh.
I'm still not ready to call him a shooter, but the shots he was hitting tonight were like step one, right? Step one is if they leave you open and give you space, spot up and hit it, right? And then step two is if they start closing out on you, then what can you do, right? But, like, you got to prove you can hit it when they don't guard you the first – that's step one, right?
Yeah.
And like, he's looking – and he's looking like he can – like, he can hit an open shot. I'm not concerned about the free throw percentage yet. Like, he's going to be able to hit free throws at some point, even though it's kind of weird he can't hit them right now. He didn't go to the line tonight. But, like, I'm just talking, like,
big picture, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
My bigger thing, so I want to ask you this before we open it to the callers. There's been some commentary and some questioning about him not playing more. Do you have a problem with his role and kind of the way that they're developing him, or what are your thoughts?
I think the way that they're coaching him up in terms of the shooting and what he does off the ball and getting to the hole, I think all of that is great. All of that stuff we didn't see last year. The minutes, I think I would like to see more of it. But, like, I think games like tonight, there are just better players out there than him, like games like tonight, right? Like, if Damian Lee looks awful tonight, then you're like, okay. If Bielitsa looks awful, then Bielitsa was okay. JT didn't play tonight in minutes that mattered, right? So to me, it's like, well, those guys are good basketball players, and they're playing well tonight. So I didn't see a reason necessarily to play him out there. I also don't think it's necessary to start him. Like,
Otto is a better basketball player than him today, January 25th, 2022. So I agree with you there. I think the thing I like, I just want to throw this out there. I think I like the fact that they are kind of tough love coaching him, because I'm not sure he would look this good if he was allowed to just play 20 minutes.
I agree.
He's one of those guys who needs kind of someone on him to bring the absolute best out of him, because he is that talented. Like, he... There's two questions. Who's more talented, Kuminga or Bielitsa? Kuminga.
right? Yeah, but it's like, who is a more complete, polished basketball player? And it's obviously the guy who's in his 30s who's, you know, just kind of played more basketball. So I think they learned from last year with Wiseman a little bit.
I think they did. And I think there are situations, though, where you're going to know immediately when Belly shouldn't be playing. And there are going to be games where they throw JT out. You're just like, hey, man, these guys, they're not able to play in this game. Just give them the hook and just put Kuminga in. I don't know if they're there yet, because I think there's a little, like, you know, these guys are vets. You kind of want to do – like, I know Steve Kerr's a great people manager, right? And I think that's part of what Steve is trying to do. He's trying to manage the locker room. And that's why I think, like, it was weird for him to say we're going to start Kuminga from here on out. I was just like, that's a weird thing to do. It's not like it's not like he's LeBron over there. Like, he's not the starter.
It also reminds me of, like, last year. They're like, we're going to start Wiseman. They're like, do you know what you're really – signing up for by throwing a rookie into the fire like that? Yeah,
it's a little odd. So I do wish he would play a little more, though. I'm gonna be honest with you. I wish he got more minutes. But yeah, he looks fantastic, and I didn't think he could shoot coming in, but they've got some fantastic player development coaches. I'll tell you this: the player Jamal Mulalela apparently fixed GP2 shot, Wiggins shot, and Kuminga shot. Cannot fix Steph's though. Steph's shot is forever broken, apparently. So there you go.
Hey, Steph had to die so those guys could thrive, right? It's like the Matrix. I don't know.
Most selfless superstar.
Light Years Podcast brought to you by HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. I'm getting mine this week, Sam. I got fat over the holidays, gained like 20 pounds. So I'm trying to eat healthy, right? I'm trying to not spend as much money at the grocery store. And I'm trying to make eating and cooking fun and affordable. That's why HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh delivers pre-portioned ingredients straight to your door, including farm fresh produce that arrives within a week. So you get convenience without skipping on quality. You can, like I said, skip the trip to the grocery store, saving you the wait in long lines and ensuring you don't waste money on excess food. HelloFresh also cuts back on time spent in the kitchen. If you are like me, I hate cooking. So this is going to make my life a lot easier. You can spend it on your other New Year's resolutions with meals ready in about 30 minutes or less, plus quick and easy meals, including 20-minute recipes and low prep. Easy cleanup options provide an even faster route to putting food on the table. Go to HelloFresh.com/LightYears16, LightYears16, for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. Go to HelloFresh.com/LightYears16. Again, that's LightYears16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Let's get to the goons.
Let's get to the goons.
Mikus.
Hey guys, first time calling in since Jimmy Garoppolo ended my NFL season.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, best of luck for the rest of the season. You know, I was talking a lot of trash on Twitter, and even if Jimmy Garoppolo does stink, he wins games. I can't say anything. So hope you guys go win the Super Bowl. Honestly, I said whoever won that game was going to the Super Bowl. So you know, you guys are going to win next week, three times in a row. The season will be fun.
We'll lose to Mahomes in the championship.
It'll be brutal. You're going to lose to Steph Curry over the NFL, and it is what it is. But my question, seriously, we've now gone 20 games with this, so we're pretty far into it. If this is the new Steph Curry, can the Warriors still win the title if Draymond Green is healthy, Klay Thompson gets back to his minutes, and everything else is what it is? Are they still actually viable title contenders? And to answer the question, Sam, this is Klay's 10th best assist game ever. He's got 4 games with 8 assists, 6 games with 7, and then a bunch with 6. But this is his most assists in under 30 minutes. So all of those games, he at least had 33. He only had 26 tonight, so just some stats for you guys. But, yeah, if Steph doesn't return to form, can they still win it all? It's my question.
Mikus, appreciate the call and appreciate the stats. It's useful.
One of the best as always.
I'm not surprised Klay has not had a game with 6 assists in under 30 minutes prior. That much I can tell you. But, okay, what do you think? Do you think they can win?
No.
Okay, what if let me paint a counterfactual for you. What if you get Draymond back and it's peak Draymond, you know, defensive player of the year, Draymond, and you get this version of Klay Thompson out there. So now, okay, so Steph is an inconsistent shooter, but you got Klay, you got Wiggs, you got Otto Porter, you got Jordan Poole. Like you have more depth on offense. Plus you got Draymond anchoring the best defense in the league.
It's not happening. It's just they need when the games get down to like game 5, game 6, they need Steph to be the guy that dropped 33 in Houston in the second half. That is not that guy right now. I am watching a different human being on the court right now, and that's not him. And if they don't have him, they're not winning. It's unless Jordan Poole suddenly becomes a 28 points per game score, or Klay becomes, peak Klay, but that's not happening this season, right? So, no, man. No.
I kind of think they can. I kind of think if Draymond is able to anchor a defense playing at the level they have, they can kind of win with a balanced offense. And Steph being a less efficient 25-point-per-game scorer.
I don't know. Well, actually, I don't know if I buy it, to be honest with you.
I'm just trying to present the counterfactual right now.
Just trying to think of a way. I think they could beat Phoenix.
Let me put it this way. I'm more concerned about I'm more concerned about Draymond Green right now than I am about like Steph shooting 4% higher on his 3-point range.
Yeah.
That for me, that's a big deal. All right, Grant, what's up, man?
Just went on mute, leaving the Chase Center right now. Thanks for letting me on. I'm just saying that the Warriors need to get creative with resetting Steph's mental. I think they honestly need to either have him practice at Oracle or play a full game at Oracle. I think he, like, in between game 3 and game 4 in Memphis, Draymond getting him drunk in Memphis. Like, they just need to reset his mental. It feels like more like that. I was thinking the Warriors, like, I was at the game today, and, like, they lead the league, and, like, guy misses a 3 and, like, angrily claps to himself. I saw both Steph and Klay do a lot of that. So there's just a lot of angst right now, and I feel like they need to reset the chakras if possible.
Grant, I like that. First off, over under, how much do you think you'd have to pay Joe Lacob for them to throw away a game and go play at the old Oracle where he can't cash in on the Chase?
God, it's a hell of a good question.
I think that the problem is, like, pre-COVID, they had the Benjamins to, like, just roll with that. But now, like, Chase opened at, like, and then COVID happened. So I think, like, financially, they're a little less stable than we would want them to be. So it's less likely. I just remember, like, the New York Islanders would do that. They would play, like, they were, like, based at Barclays, but would play at Nassau Coliseum for, like, certain playoff games, and it would obviously be super cool as like a Bay Area fan, as a Warrior fan, pre the San Francisco move, of course. But like, I don't think Joey Lightyears is going.
That's
for
funny.
It, to be honest.
That's how look, how's Chase tonight?
Chase was good. Chase was, you know, it was fine. It was just a mid-week regular season game, you know, pretty solid. I think that people are still really into Clay. I think they're awkward around Steph. Like, you know, Steph had a couple, like, rim-out threes, and he missed, like, a technical free throw. And there's the exasperated, like, ah, which was a little frustrating. But, like, yeah. I don't know.
Okay, I think he's right.
There's a little, that is the right way. It's like this Cialis ad where the guy's like staring into the sunset, and you're like, no one wants to talk about it. That's what's going on.
Yep,
that's a Steph Curry song.
Right? Oh man, it's true, man. I've never seen so much frustration from Steph. But
yeah, and what are you guys' theories on the slump? Just while I got you on the horn, I think it's like I think maybe he overlifted and like, you know, hurt a nerve, or I think it's like a little bit of the Draymond. And a little bit, like, honestly, this is maybe a hotter take, but, like, sort of tragedy of the depth. When the other, like, role players are playing well, it's less of the, like, pass to Steph whenever of the ball vibe. And so he's getting, like, a little less look.
Andy, give me your craziest theory on the slump.
I'm
– podcast appropriate.
100. I'm behind the – I am behind the take that I think Steph's injured. I think something's wrong. And I think he's playing through it. I wish he wouldn't, but he's one of the toughest, if not the toughest guy in the league, and he doesn't make excuses. And I think something's wrong with his hand or his leg or something's wrong with him physically. He won't admit it because he's Steph Curry, but I think that's what's causing this.
But why is he playing through it? Like, you know, he's in his 30s. Like, he doesn't really have much to prove in terms of, like, that.
Why did Kobe play through injuries?
Because you want to be
Jordan. They're chasing a title. This isn't protect your stats. Like, this isn't some LeBron chase the legacy type of tour going on here. I think he is trying to win a title. Anyway, I'm not sure I buy the injury excuse, to be honest with you, Andy and Grant.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with the ball. I think Wilson engineered a ball.
Oh boy.
I think Nike was involved in it. As we all know, Steph is not a Nike athlete. No,
that's a good one.
That's my crackpot theory. You know, have you noticed Nike athletes not slumping with their jump shots? Have you thought about that?
Let's take it one further. Nike is paying off the refs. That's why Steph's never gotten any calls. It's because the Nike lobby is preventing the NBA refs from giving him 4-point plays.
Grant, I appreciate you. Dude, I'm actually willing to just say he's in a slump. I think he's going to get out of it. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if I believe what I'm saying. Because it's bizarre. It's like.
It doesn't make any sense, man. 2 for 10 from three tonight. The mid-range jumper was butter. It was fantastic, and he's even missing free throws. It seems like he misses a free throw every other game now or something. So I don't know. He obviously is feeling it because you can see him literally shaking his head when he misses an open three. So
yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. He's probably going to come around, but it is fun to think about. All right, Neil.
What's going on, fellas? How's it going?
What's up, brother?
Where can I get that Smilegeet shirt?
I'll send you the link. It's ordered. It's in my closet. It's the result of, again, coming in last place in fantasy football. So nice. You can thank the Light Years Discord for that one.
The best.
So I was just going to ask you guys, so what are your thoughts on, like, what Kuminga's role is going to be, like, come playoff time? Because, like, watching him – he seems, of course, a lot more polished than I thought he would be. I know, like, it, you know, when it comes to the playoffs, like, rookies generally don't, you know, do amazing. But I don't know, at least, like, in spots, he can play like, really good defense. He can give some scoring sparks. So just want to get your thoughts on that.
Appreciate it, Neil. Andy, you want to go first?
Resident Kuminga guy. I thought you were going to take that one. Appreciate you, Neil. Appreciate all the work that you do. I think that I don't actually think that he's going to play much in the postseason. I think when it comes down to it, I think Steve is going to go with his guys
I think he's going to play Otto Porter. I think he's going to go with defense first. GP2. Theoretically, Kuminga's a good defender, but he's so young that he's not actually good on defense. And you see guys like Otto Porter and Kawhi Looney, those guys are so freaking slow, but they're so smart on defense that it doesn't really matter. I think when it comes down to it, I don't know how much Kuminga plays in the postseason outside of some energizer minutes, right? Like maybe he'll just get 10 to 15 minutes this certain game, but I don't think he'll have a steady role.
I think you just nailed it right there. I think he's going to be a athletic body that Steve throws out there to change the momentum of a game, but I don't think he's going to be a regular postseason rotation player. Like if they're healthy, you know, Draymond starts, Wiggins starts, Otto's the first guy off the bench. And then Kuminga and JTA, they're kind of guys that Steve will throw in there if he wants to change the momentum of the game. And if they're feeling it, he might ride it, and then he'll look like a genius or he'll look like an idiot, but one or the other. I think that's going to be his role.
Yep. By the way, that's also Wiseman's role if and when he comes back. So
let's get him on the floor first.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Easy. What's up?
Hey guys.
What's going on?
Yeah, I'm calling in from South Africa, actually.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. In regards to Steph's shooting slump, I think Andy might be right. I think it's like a mechanical issue. I think it is a mechanical issue. I think he's injured and because we don't have a guy who can like score 20 points per game, I think he just needs to be in there just to cover the wins, you know, get us over 50 wins or so. And yeah, that's my take.
Easy, appreciate it. I don't disagree with you. And I do think, I mean, this is kind of what you were getting at, Andy, which is Steph is going to play through it if it helps them win. And for all the stuff we're talking about, this team has what, the second best record in the NBA? It's not like they're slumping. Yeah, like it's just weird to see Steph not shoot like an alien, right?
If you had to ask Steph, and I think he's this type of guy, I think he'll take this win every single day. Like he won't. I mean, he doesn't want to shoot 20% from three, but like if you tell Steph that he's going to finish the season shooting 37-38% from three, but the team is going to win 57 games and be the one or two seed, like he's going to take that easily. Or you can, you know, be like last season and shoot 43 and average 31 points and then finish in the play-in tournament. You know what I mean? Like I think Steph will live with this, but I think he's got that Kobe in him where. I mean, remember Kobe was playing through a broken finger that one year where he just had it taped the whole time? Just ridiculous.
It was either the 09 or the 10 playoffs where it was like he was, you know, four fingers taped up, bandaged up. And, you know, the numbers weren't pretty, but win's a win.
Yeah, so that's who Steph is, man. He's not LeBron. He's a winner.
Ty, what's up, man?
Yo.
What's up, brother?
Man. So, you know, there's a lot of speculation about, like, what's up with Steph shooting. I tend to side with Occam's razor. The simplest explanation is probably right. I mean, he's probably just in a slump. Like, it's probably not anything mechanical. It's probably not the ball. I mean, it might be a combination of all the little things, but, you know, either one way or the other, I think he'll be fine. But, so I've been sitting on this for a while. One of the cool things about this roster is you have a lot of versatility. You go the main four and then, you know, big, small, whatever you want. But I've been thinking, like, I'm not sure that Wiggins should close in the best lineup because I'm thinking, like, if Gary Payton II is hitting jumpers, what is Wiggins better for? Outside of, like, obviously you get the post touches and stuff like that. But if you could have a lineup of – Steph, Clay, Dre, Otto, and GP2, I might take that over Wiggins if there's not like an overabundance of like giant wings on the other side. But let me know what y'all think.
Ooh, I like that, Ty, because I've been thinking the same thing. I think Wiggins has been excellent this year. He's better than I thought he could play. And he's a very valuable player for this team, just having a big wing who can hit shots and defend. But if the let's put it this way. If they're playing the Memphis Grizzlies and Memphis, excuse me, does not have a big wing,
I mean, Memphis doesn't. I mean,
who's he, that's what I'm saying. Who's he guarding? Yeah. What? So he.
I mean, he's Kyle Anderson, but like Otto Porter can guard him.
GP2's better at guarding Ja, right? So why would you go with Wiggins over GP2 in that game? Like, I get it if you play the Lakers. Like, Wiggins, your best option on LeBron. I mean, he's real. I mean, well,
they would sit they would sit Otto Porter in that five. I think.
Sure, but and you play Wiggins at
the four. I'm with you. Yeah, I agree.
If you're not going against, like, if you're going against Kawhi Leonard, if you're going against LeBron James, if you're going against Kevin Durant, if you're going against those type of teams, like, Wiggins, don't even think about it. Like, he's got to be in your five-man unit. But if you're going against a team who is, like, guard-heavy and doesn't really have wings who are threatening, it's not the worst idea in the world to consider throwing GP2 out there instead of Wiggins.
I think the question is that should GP2 be closing? I think yes, certain times. I don't know if it's in place of Wiggins anymore. He's just been so good. By the way, before the season, I thought the best lineup would actually be Wiggins out and Otto Porter closing with Andre and the rest of the big three. So I thought that was going to be my hot take. But Wiggins has just been too good offensively and defensively. I think in that situation, I would probably sit Otto, especially when you're talking about a small lineup. You're going to go Jaren Jackson at the five. And like cut in slow mo at the four, and then like, you know, stuff like that. And you would probably get away with Andrew at the four. That's what I would do. But GP2 would definitely need to be. I mean, there's nobody on this team that can guard Ja except for GP2. I mean, GP2 might foul out in like 20 minutes, but that's your best bet.
Hey man, he's not Kim Bazemore.
Definitely not.
What Saeed. Up, fellas? What up, fellas?
What up, man?
It's been a minute. How you doing?
I know. Congratulations on the baby. I also had a baby recently. So
congrats, my man. On.
Who would have thought that Looney would have been out Iron Man this season? Yeah. Got to give a big shout out to Loon God, huh, this guy. But what are we going to do for the month when Draymond's out? Just keep Looney at center and Belly at center? What do you guys think?
Saeed, appreciate the call. I mean, dude, a lot of Looney. No other way around it. They don't have an option, do they?
They don't, and this defense that he's playing right now tonight looked like Draymond on the back end. I mean, Porzingis is not that hard to guard. I don't know what his deal is. He's shooting threes on Steph at the top of the game. I don't know what his problem is, but like that guy's soft. And Looney just easy. And Looney switching off on Luka I thought was hilarious, and it makes so much sense. It reminded me of Looney guarding James Harden in those postseason series. Because Luka's quick, but like he kind of moves slow, and Looney's the same way, so they kind of mirror each other. And Luka can get by him a little bit, but I think Looney's strong enough to where he can stay in front most of the time. I think it's hilarious that Looney's one of the better defenders on Luka that you can have on this team. And I don't know, man. I really hope he doesn't get hurt because he is playing a lot. And he's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for them looking to add another athletic front court player, but it's not happening in the short term. So I just don't know what else you can ask from Looney. I think he's been phenomenal.
Get Marc Gasol. That's all I ask for.
Yeah, the definition of athleticism. All right, let's end it here, guys. We appreciate everyone who called in tonight. We'll be back on Thursday night. Let's go.